Okay.
So let's get started. So we're on page 12. So yesterday, towards the end, we were discussing a very important halacha about head covering, wearing a yarmulke. Once again, I want to remind everyone, if you're out there on the Zoom link, so if you could mute yourself, I would greatly appreciate it. But again, wearing a yarmulke, and we discussed about is a medina, is that a minog? But again, we saw the Taz and the Marsham that basically today you got to wear a yarmulke. We're talking about wearing it at night when you're sleeping and that type of stuff and everything like that. And then the last part we were discussing, so in the Mishnah Berurah, Mishnah Berurah Yud Beis, that when we talk about, again, this discussion about whether you could have a bare head, that's all when you're just stomp around. But let's say you're learning or you're davening or you're making a bracha, so there's no shiloh, you definitely have to have your head covered. Again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a yarmulke, so it could be anything. It could be a baseball hat, it could be whatever. But it has to be, you have to cover your head. So again, that's very important. Now again, Rav Moshe has tshuvas about it, about could you take off your yarmulke if it's for parnasa reasons, but as we discussed outside of this year, the world has, Baruch Hashem, changed in this in a lot of ways. But in this aspect, maybe a little better. The outside world is a little more tolerant of Jews and other religions wearing religious paraphernalia, yeah, whatever you want to call it. So in that realm, it's gotten a little better. In other realms, it's gotten worse. Things that, in general, have gotten worse. So again, that's an important halacha. Now let's continue. Two words in the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, V'yivdak nekavav. And again, we're talking about waking up in the morning, right? We're talking about so how you should get dressed, and you should have something on your head before you set out from bed. And you should also check yourself if you need to go to the bathroom. You need to take care of your needs. Now, we'll get into this a little more. I don't know if we're going to do all of Gimel, but at least some of it we will do. The Ramah adds on, V'chaseh kol gufo v'lo yelech yachav. That person should cover themselves. This is something we discussed before. Before I get into that, so the Mechaber said a person in the morning should go to the bathroom. Now, the whole idea is because before we daven, before Mekalo Malchus Shamayim, we should have a clean body internally and externally. So before Shema and before Shemoneh Esrei. So the Mishnah Berurah says you just have to be aware of yourself or check yourself, so to speak, if you need to go to the bathroom. And if you didn't have to go to the bathroom, so then you don't have to go to the bathroom. And that, even though you didn't actually do anything, but that's called a guf naki. Now, again, practically, as we all know, usually after sleeping for a long time, so usually a person has to do something. So again, we'll learn about this later. If a person has to go to the bathroom, you're supposed to go to the bathroom. You're not supposed to, as we'll see later, hold it in, as we call it. And again, that's very, very important. So that's very important. And the Mishnah Berurah also talks about that you don't necessarily have to go to the bathroom if you don't need to. And again, some people made that erroneous idea that they have to go to the bathroom before it, so they would wait and wait and wait and wait until they went to the bathroom and miss manch tefillah or kriya shema and not done with a minyan. So again, if you don't have to go to the bathroom, you don't have to go to the bathroom, and that's called a guf naki. Now the Ramah continues, V'lo yelech yachav. You should not walk around barefoot. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down that that Chazal did not look kindly, that you should always get shoes. You should always have shoes. Now, if you look at old pictures, like between the wars, Jews were very poor, and sometimes they couldn't afford. So little kids, a lot of times, didn't have shoes. Like an amazing thing, like if you look at pictures from Europe. Again, this should make us appreciate. But again, Mishmaror also talks about in Arabian countries where they walked around, or maybe still do, I don't know, barefoot, so then it's okay. The Marsham also brings down that when we say a person, Mishmaror brings this down, the person should spend, sell anything he has in order to buy shoes. So he says, he brings down the Magen Avraham, that even in a place where it was their custom to go barefoot, let's say like Arabian places, still on Shabbos, a person should wear shoes. Even in places where they didn't wear shoes, you should still on Shabbos wear shoes. And he brings, and he says that the Magen Avraham says that's a midasnius. Midasnius. Not to ever go barefoot. I don't know ever, but a person shouldn't go barefoot because it's nias reasons. So again, even in places where they did go barefoot, again, like Middle Eastern countries, but still a person should not, because it's nias, go barefoot.
How about from the bed to the bathroom?
Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're just talking about, you know, like in general, walking around. Some people go in their backyard, yeah. You know, things like that.
In the house, it's okay.
Yeah, I've seen people do that. But again, yeah. Okay, Gimel. Now, again, we're not going to do necessarily everything in Gimel, but we will do a lot of it. But let's start it. So it talks about halachas going to the bathroom. Now, again, this is an amazing thing that even when we go to the bathroom, we have to comport ourselves in certain ways. Again, like we said, saw before, an aleph, Hashem is everywhere. So again, there's always somebody in the rearview mirror, even if you think there's nobody there. So a very interesting halacha. So this is based upon the Gemara in Brachas, as you can see. Kishaychanes the Beis Hakisa Yomar Hiskabdu Mechubdai. There's a tefillah that's, again, it's brought down in, like you're speaking to, and there's a whole discussion about this, that you ask the malachim. So, you know, Chazal tell us that there's, we don't see it, obviously, but there are destructive forces that we cannot comprehend that are around us constantly. But there's also, hopefully, positive forces, malachim, that protect us and accompany us and go with us. So you're asking those malachim to wait while you go to the bathroom. So the Mechaber says, "Ve'achshav," and now, lo nagu la'amro. The custom is not to say it. The Mishnah Berurah explains, because we let's look at the Mishnah Berurah Aleph. We're not, we can't assume that we're on the level that malachim accompany us. That we should ask them, you know, wait here for me. So again, if you can imagine, it's analogous to somebody, you know, like important people, they always have somebody with them, you know, a gabbai or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, when they go to the bathroom, the gabbai doesn't go with them. So you say, you know, like, wait here, you know, until I come back out. So to speak, the same thing would be in a metaphysical way, if you want to use that term. And so you're asking, so the Chofetz Chaim says, you can't, we're not on the Madrega to say, oh, you know, Malachim, wait for me. Now this brings up a few very interesting points. And that is, we're talking to malachim. In other words, there is a halacha that we're not allowed to daven to anything except for Hashem. So you're not believe it or not, it's a very big issue in slichas, especially during Yom HaNoraim. We say malachim rachamim shar say el yon chanan apnei el yon. We ask the malachim, And we ask them, please beseech Hashem. Believe it or not, this is a very controversial, and some Gedolim, even recent Gedolim, did not say it, or changed the language. Because you're not allowed to daven to anything except for Hashem. There is a whole big issue. Let's say you go to a Beis HaKvaras, and you, the Mishnah Berurah talks about it. And again, in Hilchos Tanis, about davening to the mace. So the Mishnah Berurah brings down that you're not davening to the mace, you're the nifter. You're davening to Hashem in the schus of the nifter who's there. But believe it or not, some say it's okay. You could daven to... And I remember a number of years ago, I was listening, and this goes to hear a shir from Rabbi Frizzel Zangezund, I'm from Chicago, posted from Chicago, and he said that it was okay. Kind of interesting. You know, again, Hasidic people, they even at a, before a chasana, they go to, you know, some rabbi who is nifter, and they leave an invitation. They invite whoever it is. Some people do this with grandparents or whatever. So again, you have to realize it's not so simple. So that gets involved here. So the Mechaber says, well, we don't do that because we don't assume we're such big, you know, we're not so great that Malachim are walking us around, right? But it seems from the Mechaber that he's not so worried about the other issue. Talking to or, you know, to something, beseeching something, you know, some people say this is different because you're not davening, you're just saying, wait, you know, like, it's like a friend. So it's not like a... The Marsham also brings up another issue, and part of it is he discusses, when we're talking about this tefillah, this lachash that you're saying, this tefillah, is at the end you say, imru amen. In other words, this comes up very, very often. Let's say, again, you go to a basic course and you're saying a Kelmali Rachamim for the Nifter. So we all know at the end of a Kelmali Rachamim, we say, Imru Amen. Yeah, but nobody's there except for you. So again, saying Imru Amen is calling upon those who are with you to say Amen. But, I mean, unless you're schizophrenic, you know, like you think there's other people there, you know, like otherwise, you know, like. So again, the Marsham discusses it here. And again, he also discusses the issue of yuhara, if there's such a concept of gaiva. In other words, like here, the issue would be, if I say this thing before I go to the bathroom, oh, you think you're the cat's meow, because you're assuming that malachim are escorting you. Yeah, but nobody's hearing it. So it's such an idea, you know, in Slavoka, very big on being careful about doing something. You know, the many stories that we heard from the Rishiva Zeichet Zal Yivarach about how careful Slobodka was, the altar and others, but that's our Masorah, to be very careful about doing things that could, either for others or for yourself, you could start get a little ahead of yourself, your head literally. In other words, you start thinking, again, you're the cat's meow. So the same thing here, in other words, I'm asking the malachim not to cut with me, not to come to escort me into the bathroom. So then you're, again, put the Mishnah Berurah together with that. That means you're assuming that malachim do escort you. Who are you? Like, you really think that? So again, but you're saying it privately. Nobody hears it. You're not, like, announcing it on a loudspeaker, right? Do they use that phrase anymore? Whatever. But again, you're not advertising. So again, you're just saying it to yourself. So is there a concept of yuhara, of gaiva, if you're doing something privately? So those are two interesting issues. By the way, getting back to the davening to other things besides Hashem. So believe it or not, I know this might sound surprising to some people, that some people don't say Shalom Aleichem on Friday night because of this issue. Like, who are you talking to? Especially if you say Barchuni, Barchuni l'shalom, right? Bless me. So who are you asking to bless you? It was Malachim who... Now, again, in that case, I don't think it's Gaiva, because the Gemara says a person is accompanied by two Malachim, right? So, you know, it's not saying you're so great. Everybody gets accompanied, right? But that's, or you could say just the opposite. Maybe the Gemara is only saying that by Friday night, but you can't assume that all the time. But again, believe it or not, there's a lot of things we take for granted. Yeah, sure, everybody says Shalom Aleichem. First of all, no. Some people say it, but they don't say Baruch Hu L'Shalom. And I heard of one Adam Gadol, I heard from his son-in-law, that he said it, but he didn't say Tseiskam L'Shalom. Because why are you asking the Malachim to leave? Want them to leave? What are you doing, kicking them out of the house? So again, it's just bringing up the idea that a lot of things we take for granted, again, we say them or we do them or whatever, but you really have to think a little more deeply as to whether nothing's simple. Okay. So, I just wanted to mention before the end, I remember seeing, I think it was Vinil Gaon, but I don't have it written down, I just have it written down that I saw somewhere, that some people do say Yichabduni Mechub Adam, and the Mishnah Berurah says you don't say it, but in other words, don't assume that you're accompanied by angels all over this place. Who are you to assume that? So I saw a long time ago that some people say it because it's a skula for helping you not think about Torah in the bathroom. Again, I haven't taken a poll, but when we're around and everything like that, we don't think about Torah, right? Or I shouldn't say maybe Mr. Yechezkel, Mr. Magidu, but I'm saying a lot of people, one of our challenges is wasting time. When do you always think about Torah? When you're not allowed to, right? That's the way the Eitz Hara works. So all of a sudden in the bathroom, I think of a good chiddush, right? Or I think of, or in the middle of davening, right? Or in Tisha B'Av, or, so that's the way the Eitz Hara works. So I saw many years ago that this, so to speak, tefillah is something that helps for somebody not to be mahara in Torah while they're in the bathroom. Okay, Rabbi, I'll say we'll stop here for tonight.